or I can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with Jan Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at PTISecurities.com or feel free to email me at john@PTISecurities.com. That's J-O-H-N at PTISecurities.com.
Hear ye, the Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now.
Hello and welcome to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howell. He's Mr. Wayne Manson. She's Jay-Z on the board. S&P Futures up 875. NASDAQ Futures up 1850. Wayne, I have a... were your ears burning last night?
Well, I got a funny story to tell. I was just in Washington last week to get a pulse of what's happening up there. And I met a reporter from New York who had spent many years in Chicago working for the Trib. And I had not met this person before, so I started talking, and he says, are you from Chicago? I said, no. He says, that's funny, you have a Chicago accent. So I have to say that you must have rubbed off on me, because now people think I'm from Chicago.
Well, one of my buddies from college, I don't see that often, he's a retired attorney that specialized in title law, then he taught English for a while, and God knows what else. He's a real kind of renaissance, amazingly well-read man, and says to me last night, so when are you having Wayne back on? I go, Jan, I didn't even know you'll listen. He goes, oh, I listen all the time. He said, but you're due to have Wayne on with all this impeachment stuff. He's coming on tomorrow. Okay, I'll make sure to listen. I was hoping you could.
I think I've been given the award of having an honorary Chicago accent.
Well, that's a good thing. I mean, it's a when you start using the D's and Dems and Does, you know, like you're from the South Side, then you know you're screwed, basically.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm more of a Cubs fan myself, but.
Well, even now, I mean, we're talking about a roller.
Well, I remember when they were always the underdogs, so I always rooted for them.
How come nobody has brought up, and maybe you can, I should ask Kevin, how come nobody has brought up, wasn't the famous collapse was the Phillies under Gene Mauch that lost their last 12 games one year? I'm surprised that hasn't been brought up, because if the Cubs do... get swept by the Cardinals, it'll be their last 12 games, right? They'll match a record that nobody thought ever would be broken.
And well, I got to admit, I've been the last few weeks I've been following the political situation more than baseball or any other sport, so I'm a little rusty in the department right now.
Wayne, could you do us a big favor? I think you can. I mean, I pretty much know you can. For those of us that are being inundated with every conceivable kind of piece of paper from the left and the right, could you walk us through the actual process? Who gets to do what? Who votes? What happens if it, you know, if it ends up before, you know, before the primaries, during the primaries, before the convention, after convention?
Right.
What actually happens on a totally just the facts man, Jack Webb thing without any opinion? Just what is the process?
Well, my sense is that what is occurring right now is we kept hearing about all these members of Congress who were, you know, saying, okay, I'm for impeachment inquiry, blah, blah, blah. We've got the House Judiciary Committee already involved in what they call preliminary impeachment inquiry. Now, at some point in time, the full House will take a vote on making this formal. In other words, charging the House Judiciary Committee with an impeachment hearings. It doesn't have to happen that way, and it may not. We don't know. Nancy Pelosi might be saving this for impeachment articles being voted out of the Judiciary Committee. Judiciary Committee is the only committee that can really vote out articles of impeachment. In the case of Richard Nixon, I believe they voted out six articles.
So right now, they could look at all.
Nixon, of course, resigned before it went over to the Senate for trial, but he also resigned before the full House voted to approve the Judiciary Committee's articles of impeachment. That's how it normally works. Let's face it, this doesn't happen all the time. It did happen with Clinton. So what we're going to see is the House taking up articles of impeachment, voting them out with, I guess, one former Republican who is now an independent, Justin Amash from Michigan, voting for that as well. It will go to the full House. There's enough votes now to carry the articles of impeachment, and then it will go over to the Senate for trial. Now, here's where it gets interesting. We now know from several Republican sources that if the Senate vote were held in private, in camera, in secret, that there's about 35 Republican senators who would vote to convict. The reason they wouldn't want to do it in public is because of the harassment they will face from the Trump.
But it's not. It's not 50 votes. They need 67, right? They need 2/3.
This is starting to get very interesting.
Wayne, they need 2/3, though, right? The Senate. 67 votes.
2/3, 67 votes.
But in
so
theory,
the Democrats having what, 40, 48, 49. They need 20.
Right, but so in theory, right now it's in this Judiciary Committee. Now we think a lot of the people in there are for it, just because they're Democrats. But we don't. There could be enough people in there when all the evidence gets in there, to where somebody looks at it and says, is this all we got? I'm not voting for it. We don't, it's not a strong enough case. But that could happen,
yeah,
too, right?
That may have been the case before this recent revelation, but this is pretty cut and dry. Donald Trump attempted to extort help to launch a dirty tricks campaign against one of his potential opponents in the next election, and in return for withholding military assistance, which had already been earmarked and approved by Congress. That's a very cut and dry thing. Extortion in this country is illegal. Obstruction or misuse of appropriated funds in furtherance of a crime is certainly illegal. That's why we heard before the House Intelligence Committee, which has kind of jurisdiction over this area because it involves apparently a CIA employee, but someone who actually looks like they were, he or she, we don't know whether it's a man or a woman, but he or she said, look, let's draw some lots. Some of that information in that whistleblower's report looked like it came from additional intelligence agency sources. So the House Intelligence Committee was interesting because even some Republicans on it yesterday during the hearing were saying, look, what Trump did was wrong. So I think we're seeing the cracks start to appear, just like we did with Nixon when Barry Goldwater, Senator Scott, the minority leader in the Senate, and John Rhodes, the minority leader in the House, went up to Nixon and said, look, you're going to lose the floor vote in the House. You're going to vote to impeach, and you've only got like three or four senators in your corner in the Senate. You're going to be convicted. So Nixon resigned. I think we're starting to see that play out now. And as far as the clock on this, I think we're going to see something. I think this is going to be rather fast-tracked because they're going to keep it on this particular issue, not the emoluments, not the Russia stuff and all that. This, because this was an abuse of office by Trump during his administration, not when he was
a
candidate for president.
From what I have read so far, and I guess at some point this weekend, since it's supposed to rain all weekend, I'm going to get this transcript. I'm going to go through it line by line. But right now, to me, it looks pretty sloppy. I mean, is there more to it, or is it just that piece of paper? It can't be just that piece of paper.
Well, it's actually not just that piece of paper. You're talking about the whistleblower's report?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. That doesn't wing a guy out of office. It shows a guy who inevitably if the Congress apportions $500 to Wayne Mattson, he's going to take it to you like it's his $500 and wants something in return. I mean, that's been his personality, but I don't know if he's the first one that's ever done that, is he?
He's the first one that got caught on basically a transcript doing it. He's also attempted to hide the transcript in another highly classified a computer system in the National Security Council in the White House. So it's almost like the 18-minute gap in the Rosemary Wood. we're seeing a cover up. We're seeing obstruction, but it's not just that. See, Joseph McGuire, the acting director of National Intelligence, in his testimony, said, well, I don't want to get into the signals intelligence capabilities of the intelligence community. There are other, the Ukrainian president and all the top Ukrainian officials are routinely monitored by the NSA. And those transcripts, which would include Trump, but, you know, if it's a U.S. person, we mask those out and call it a U.S. person. But the ridiculous thing in the case of the president, it says minimized U.S. president. There's only one. If it's a former president, it'll say minimized former U.S. president. So it can only be one person. And the NSA has those intercepts of Zelensky, the Ukrainian president, Zelensky's aide, who was on the phone quite a bit with Giuliani, Trump's henchman in this whole matter. So Trump is denying everything. He's on a Twitter storm this morning attacking everybody, and the White House apparently is very upset now because, you know, he has no guardrails. John Kelly is no longer the chief of staff. he no longer has people like Dan Coats. He's got acting people who are worried about, you know, being able to afford their lawyers because they're going to have to get them now. It's bedlam, apparently, in the White House. But Trump reminds me of, you know, there's a bank robbery, and the cops stop a guy, and he's covered in purple dye, you know, all over his face, all over his hands. And the cop says, "You're under arrest for robbing a bank." He said, "I didn't rob any bank. I was playing with my kid's paintball gun, and it exploded on me." Well, paintball guns are also illegal in many states. So you see how this is like Trump. He digs a hole deeper and deeper for himself.
Well, he obviously has never heard the term, like they used to say on the trading floor, that those who defend themselves that rapidly got to be guilty of something.
Exactly.
But I mean, after listening,
so sad for the country, it would be kind of like a hilarious sitcom.
Well, I'm going to say that the and again, I'm not just taking the other side because it's radio, because I've been getting inundated, as you can imagine, by both sides here. I guess I must have done a nice show yesterday because I pissed off both sides, Wayne. I don't know, but I guess that's from what the initial transcripts that are getting to people, the first piece of paper, and I like you, I clearly believe that there has to be something else, because you don't drop that piece of paper on the population and say, "This is why we're throwing your president out." I mean, I don't.
The other thing, and we've heard bits and pieces of this, is that similar transcripts exist of Trump's conversations with other world leaders, where he's, you know, shaking them down, extorting something for his own personal gain. Now, whether that's you know, something involving the Trump organization and his hotels and businesses, I mean, we know about that deal with the Moscow hotel. But again, a lot of that was before he was elected. He doesn't understand that as president. He might have been all kinds of things before he was president, a self-styled mob boss or whatever, you know, but not, he can't do that now. He's subject to the oath of office he took, and that's quite serious when he breaks the law and violates the Constitution.
I don't understand how, just on an individual basis, Wayne, and again, I don't think myself all that much more moral or different than anybody else, but when I got the piddly ass little job on the board of the CBOE, which was big to me, the minute I got elected, I said, "No, I can't. I've got one girlfriend. I can't. These people have put me here. I owe something to them. I can't. Even if it was my nature, which it wasn't anyway, I can't be messing around with some clerk, even though I never did." How does somebody not realize that when you get in a position like that, your life changes for 4 years? I don't get it.
Yeah, they used to say that the office made the man, because we've only had male presidents. We'll have to change that eventually. But they always said the office makes the man doesn't make the office. But in this case, we've seen the first case, I think, where Trump is acting like he was before he was president. Ronald Reagan wasn't everybody's cup of tea, but one of the things I was always impressed with him about is he would not even enter the Oval Office without putting on a jacket, because he thought, you know, this is, yes, he was an actor and this is part of my role, but he was no different than a lot of other presidents who would just not violate the sanctity of the office of president. Now, Bill Clinton kind of forgot that with his cohort, what he was doing with Monica Lewinsky in the Oval Office. I mean, can you imagine Reagan being told that story?
Wait, how's this for being a knucklehead like I am? I understand, from what I understand, that I don't know the brand. I should know the brand because I'm telling the story. There is a very high level brand of pool tables, billiard tables, for lack of a better term, and that. You know, the ones I played on were Brunswick and so forth. They were nice, but there's one that's like a lot better. And there's not a whole hell of a lot of them out there. And the ones that are, there's like about six of them at Camp David, and there's like four of them in the White House.
Right, right.
And the thought of Bill, shall we say, taking care of business with Eleanor Mondale on one of those pool tables always, to me, is a massive sacrilege.
You did one of those pool tables.
These are the ones that are carefully balanced.
Don't you understand that that's the best pool table in the world, and you're doing what?
After something like that, they're not going to be carefully balanced.
If somebody invited me to the White House, which will never happen, and said, "Let's go out and shoot pool," I go, "I don't want to play on that table." which one was it?
But I think this is. I got the sense being in Washington, I used to cover the place, but I think we're just about in the same predicament we were in 1973 after Nixon's Saturday Night Massacre, firing everybody. I would note one thing: there are rumors of other resignations imminent, and Friday afternoons after the 5 o'clock after the normal business day, they call it the Friday afternoon news dump. I wouldn't be surprised to see some resignations.
In terms of the administration today. I will never accuse myself of being into this Twitter information world. I still, more than I like to admit, could be zero, I'll admit it. I'm more like Kevin. I want to read the whole story myself. And I want to read it in two or three different places, and I want to get, no matter what, no matter how right-wing, left-wing you are, if you read the same story from 10 different people, there's going to be four or five things that everybody sort of has in there, and those you can sort of say, those must be like the only facts, right? The four or five things that end. But I don't, in my opinion right now, and again, I trust yours because you know more what's going on, people, no matter what, are going to look at the initial piece of evidence, because after that, there's this noise coming from every direction. If the initial piece of paper or whatever it is has to be the smoking gun in itself, Wayne, for people on either side to say, is that all you got? Or what? Even though more stuff might pick up, and what you're saying is true, you don't shake somebody out and you don't do this. Unless it looks egregious, and the first thing where you can put one down there, that guy shot this 7-year-old. There's no way around it. It's not like he sped to the scene of the murder. He did this and any other. I think there needs to be a direct, wow, we can't let this happen again. And I don't know that piece of paper jumps out at me and says that.
Well, we have two pieces of paper. We have the transcript released to the White House. It's abridged of Trump's call with the Ukrainian president. Then we have the whistleblower's report. They actually complement one another, because the whistleblower's report does not contradict anything that's in the official White House transcript of the call. So we have these two pieces of paper, and I have a funny feeling there will be other smoking guns, one of which is now Giuliani saying, I got everything here on my cell phone. He showed it. Well, that's going to be subpoenaed. But I think Giuliani, he's just not right. There's something wrong with him. I think he's going to be so worried about getting indicted himself that, you remember in Watergate, we had the Attorney General's wife, Martha Mitchell, making late night phone calls to certain media operations, including the Washington Post, saying, let me tell you what I overheard my husband talking about with Nixon. I think Giuliani could be right on the edge of doing something similar to that, and then we're going to see this. This is going to be a unstoppable train wreck after that happens. I thought it was interesting during the Director of National Intelligence's testimony yesterday that all the broadcast networks broke in and carried it live. That is very reminiscent too. I remember watching the Watergate hearings on one of the three networks while I was in Long Beach in the Navy, watching it on a Navy exchange, barber's chair. All eyes were in a barber shop, were glued onto the TV.
Well, let me run this one by you, Wayne. And again, I'm trying to, as somebody in the middle, I'm just trying to zero out the facts. And just what I've heard from what my end, I mean, you're telling me what you heard, and I'm trying to tell you what I'm heard. To me, just as an outsider, a total outsider, my first question is, I'm led around on the nose, not by looking after ladies' dresses, but I'm led around the nose by the numbers. I don't know what that means about my personality, but my first thought is, okay, we've had Manafort was basically farting around over in Ukraine. trying to steal money out of there as best he could and seems to have done pretty well at it. He's in jail. Now, Biden's kid, even though, you know, we're not supposed to go there with the name and everything, the fact is he's doing the same thing just on some level. Now, you know, whether it's legal, I'm guessing it's legal. I'm not going to accuse the guy. But it's legal getting money out of a place that's corrupt where the people are leaving as soon as they can get out of there, right? So it's money that's tainted. So now Biden's over there as well. My first question to you would be, how many more of these types of creatures are there hanging around worldwide and in the Ukraine trying to steal every nickel that is on its way to help the people there? And the third thing, and this is just a flat out statement, and you can disagree with me or not, but Joe Biden's kid over there doing this stuff after Manafort went to jail is by no stretch a sympathetic figure.
Yeah, but, of course, but
it's Biden's not like a Jew
did this while his father was vice president, and the one thing that is being lost is that they're saying that Biden tried to get rid of this Ukrainian prosecutor. He was, because this Burisma Holdings, this natural gas company that his son was on the, you know, advisory board member of. He says, look, this prosecutor is not going after anyone, including that company, for fraudulent activities. So, you know, he wasn't trying to say fire the prosecutor because the prosecutor's looking at my kid. It was, you know, fire the prosecutor because, you know, he's not looking at any of the corrupt companies and government officials over here. Ukraine is essentially a failed criminal state.
Yeah, yeah.
And the current president, Zelensky, played a school teacher who managed to become president of Ukraine, and he actually did this now in real life.
Hey, it sounds like a guy who had a TV show, you're fired, and he's president.
Exactly. So maybe, you know, I'm thinking Trump thought, hey, you know, he's just like I mean, you know, he's another grifter, you know, I can make a deal with this guy. Except for one thing, Trump's calls are transcribed, you know, and he uses several of his own private cell phones to make calls to foreign leaders. He's given the numbers out. That's almost like a drug dealer who uses 10 burner phones to avoid, you know, surveillance and detection by law enforcement. So all those calls, by the way, are intercepted NSA.
The question,
NSA's partners in Britain and wherever else.
All right, so explain to me, again, because this bothers a living bleep out of me. I don't see the guy I think is pretty cool. I don't see Wayne Madsen. I don't see Kevin O'Neill. I don't see Hal Snar. I don't see any of the really upper crust kind of people we have on this show. Lou Michaels, I don't see any of these people sitting on his board in a utility board in a friggin' Ukraine, and all of a sudden Biden's kid's there. I can't, you know, it just frosts me. I mean, the kid might be terrific. I might, you know, want to go play golf.
No,
with the guy,
he,
you know.
He's had problems. He was basically discharged from the Navy as an officer for, you know, abuse of drugs, including apparently cocaine. So he's got some issues.
But, I mean, you and I are not going to go to Ukraine and sit on a board for free or for $1,000 a meeting. I want no part of the Ukraine.
I've been on a board of directors. It was a volunteer group, a nonprofit, but I quit because I didn't like some of the things I saw. You're supposed to practice due diligence. Now, we don't know what Hunter Biden may have said about the conditions in that particular company. It's known to be run by a guy named Igor Kolomoisky, who's an oligarch who actually has mercenary battalions fighting the Russians in eastern Ukraine. So this is a big mess, I mean, over in Ukraine. And I don't think they can ever produce a clean, because Zelensky, certainly this guy Zelensky, was put in office by this oligarch Kolomoisky. So it's a big mess.
All right, Wayne, we got to go off the break here. When we get back, we have the durable goods orders, which are going to come out in a second. SP Futures up 850, NASDAQ Futures up 818. They'll jump around a little with these durable goods. We'll be right back, Stocks and Jocks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox.
The Control Freak's Guide to Life, Money, and Probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices, along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right now.
Hello, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howie. Mr. Wayne Manson. This is Jay-Z on the board. All kinds of numbers here. We got to walk through with Mr. Wayne as soon as I give the what's going on around the world. S&P futures up 8.25. All these numbers. Right back we started from on the S&Ps. NASDAQ futures down a hair, up 16. They were down 18.5, but nothing much there. Dow up 52 over in Europe. The rallies in Europe, although the DAX was up 1% earlier. Now it's up 0.8. It's up 98. It was up a little more earlier. FTSE up 65.9. CAC around kind of a laggard, only up 10.2%. I don't know why that is. They've been right with the DAX pretty much every day the last 2 weeks. Nikkei down 169.8%. Shanghai up 3. Call that flat. Hang Seng down 87.3, so not much going on there. Bonds 1.70, 10-year. Bund minus 0.57, Japan minus 0.23. Oil, quiet. Well, actually not quiet. It was quiet earlier. Down $1.10, 55.31. Brent down $1.32, 61.42. Natural gas, 241. Again, getting down to that, the kind of the low that David and I called a while ago, but now we're back down to it. So maybe it won't be the low. RBOB, 164. So your gas prices should be back to where they were before the hit on Saudi Arabia. Gold down $14, 1501. Silver down 35 cents at 1756. The dollar is not being kind to gold today. BZ, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports. Then we're going to go through some of these numbers.
Perfect. Thanks, Chief. Good morning, everyone. The time is now 7:36. Chicago is looking cloudy today. Rain starting around 10 a.m. Phoenix is also cloudy. High of 87, low of 71. In football last night, the Eagles beat the Packers 34-27. Pirates and the Cubs, I'm sorry, and in baseball, the Cubs lost to the Pirates 9-5. The White Sox beat the Indians 8-0. Diamondbacks were off. No accidents to report. Back to you.
The durable goods numbers came in plus 0.2%. Without transportation, it was up 0.5. Get a load of this, though. Without defense, it was down minus 0.6. Personal spending up 0.1, personal income up 0.4. I'm going to have to get a definition of what they have in personal income, but those numbers aren't horrible. But this is the one that I don't believe. The PCE indicator, which is the inflation indicator the Fed uses, is unchanged. I think that is such BS I can't even go there. But we won't leave that discussion for another day, Wayne. What is the timing? I mean, I think I agree with you that this is either going to be not enough to come out of the committee, or it's going to happen relatively quickly. But what if it started to happen like a week before the primary, or a week after, or before the convention, after the convention? I mean, that's never happened before, but what is your sense of how all that could be so totally balled up? We're still farting around with it 60 days from now, does Mitt Romney start running in some of these primaries or what? I mean,
yeah, well, I listening to what Pelosi has had to say, I think she wants this to be not bogged down. I think we're talking about probably some articles of impeachment being voted out of judiciary after the intelligence. See, a lot of this has to do with the intelligence committee, but they're not the ones who will vote it out of committee, the articles, that is. They're going to be working, and they're going on a recess, by the way, the Congress this evening. But we're going to see the staffers for the Intelligence Committee and Judiciary working closely together to try to craft what will be maybe one article of impeachment, maybe more than one, but only having to do with this extortion operation with Ukraine. So it's going to be it's going to be very focused. There won't be a need for bringing in people that said, "Hey, you know, he's making money on the Trump hotel." That's a different issue. They are different committees, also. I think we're going to see articles of impeachment voted out before Halloween. I think we're going to see maybe a vote in the full House to refer those articles over to the Senate for trial in November before Thanksgiving. And we may, in fact, see a Senate trial before Christmas. The reason I'm using the holidays is I'm cognizant of the congressional recesses, the Senate. I certainly don't think they'll call off their recess because of McConnell won't go for that. McConnell would love to run the clock out exactly to the primaries, because he'll see that as, oh, we can drum up support from some of our donors and say, look at poor Trump. But I also get the sense that a lot of Republicans in the Senate and some in the House have had enough of Trump, because he's putting their political futures in extreme jeopardy.
I guess I my gut feel right now, Wayne, and I think you disagree with me, but my gut feel right now is, given the state of what I'm seeing coming at me, this better get away from Biden's kid, or people are never going to believe it's not tainted, because he's just not a sympathetic creature.
Yeah, but I mean, the issue is that this stands on its own merits.
I understand.
Trump was saying, look, investigate the Bidens. First of all, you can't extort if we have anyone investigate an American citizen, it's got to be the Justice Department, not the Ukrainian Prosecutor General, Trump was basically talking about. And Barr, he may be impeached out of this as well, because it sounds like he was also coordinating efforts to try to drum up an investigation of U.S. Citizens by a foreign country. So I don't think it's beyond the pale that we could see also impeachment articles drawn up against
all I'm saying is they better make it very, very clear that's what they're talking about, and not just...
They will. Yeah. I have every confidence that they're going to be like, you know, it'll be like any trial, using the bank robber, for example. Yeah, the guy's on video, there he is, pulling the gun on the teller, robbing the bank. Oh, by the way, we have other evidence, you know, when the cops stopped him, he had purple dye all over his face and hands. But, you know, it's just like charged with armed bank robbery, you know, a felony. So I think they're going to keep it to the extortion attempt. We'll see where it goes. I think Pelosi's playing it smart there, because she's saying, let's keep it on this. Remember, she was not in favor of impeachment, and she did say early on, she said, look, he's going to wind up impeaching himself, and it looks like that's exactly what he's done.
What the million-dollar question, I only asked this, well, I asked it because I don't know. I'm not a constitutional scholar, but one time I did read it wasn't there. I have in my district, which is one of these totally jerry-rigged, messed-up districts in Chicago where, you know, I'm going to be politically incorrect today, but it is a finger into what they call the Ranch Triangle, which it's not all white people. There's black people and Asian people that live there, but it's a more affluent area, not necessarily my place, but the district is basically the West Side, Humboldt Park, troubled area that reaches in and grabs enough votes in our area that basically makes our area's votes useless, right? Because there are always two, you know, there's always one African-American running unopposed, and you're like, who the hell is this guy or this lady? Anyway, one of the guys manages to get himself thrown out of the state legislature. Now, how bad you got to be to get one out of the Illinois state legislature? Well, the guy up and runs again, unopposed, and wins.
Right.
And you can't throw them out the second time for the same thing, because the people, meaning me, I guess, have spoken. And now, okay, you ran out of public. The million-dollar question, he gets Wong out. He's still on the ballots. Can he run again and win?
I think I at this point in time, by the way, the poll numbers are starting to shift. There was a majority opposed impeachment. But if you frame the question, you favor impeachment for this particular issue about extorting the Ukrainian government to get dirt on his political opponent, it's up to 55% in favor now. So that the polls are shifting. Another thing, Pelosi said, look, I want to wait to see where the American public is on this. So it looks like right now I'd say Trump will lose certainly the popular vote, which he did before, but also the electoral vote. I think states like North Carolina and Texas, and just yesterday, Cindy McCain in Arizona, she carries some weight still out there in the Republican Party. She said, look, I no longer consider myself a member of my husband's Republican Party.
Well, I'll tell you what, I
see this state going Democratic next year.
Well, but you didn't answer my question. If you're impeached, can you run?
Oh, can you run if you've been, if he's removed from office, no, he cannot run. No.
Why? I mean, does it say that anywhere? It would make sense.
Constitution. Yeah.
What? It's in the Constitution.
Yeah.
You're sure?
If he's removed, he can't run for president.
Because the guy ran for state senator.
Look, there was a guy from Detroit named Gus Savage who was reelected while he was in prison. So,
anyway.
That's happened, but the president's a different kettle of fish. President and vice president, for that matter. And,
well, I'm believing you, man. But I'm not so sure. It's in one of the amendments or something. But I don't know if that area says if you're impeached, you're impeached for life.
The president and vice president are unique federal positions, so they're treated a lot differently in the Constitution than members of the Senate or the House. The federal judiciary, we've had federal judges impeached. They can no longer, in other words, if you impeach a guy who's on the bench and then somebody else says, I want to appoint him to a federal bench again, that's prohibited as well.
Okay, all right. That's right. I don't remember. I mean, this stuff never comes up.
We've never had a guy like this.
You know, you have to hand it to him. He's brought up stuff that...
Look, even constitutional experts, and there's many, you see them on TV, they're scurrying for the law books and the constitutional, you know, precedent. When a situation like this occurs, we don't impeach all the time. I thought the Clinton impeachment was, they could have censured the guy and shamed him just as easily as what they did. And remember, the Democrats gained seats in the 1998 election after the impeachment of Clinton. So I don't think that's going to happen in this case, though.
Well,
it's a whole different story, different situation.
Wayne, I want to talk a little bit, Nat, just on that, because we have a few minutes left, and I don't usually get a chance to talk to you. The morals of the situation and what people are willing to put up with.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had a bunch of, Trump supporters, that, of course, they're on me like you can imagine. And I said, all I'm saying is no matter who you have, matter of fact, somebody sent me the thing about Clint Eastwood and how much he loved Trump. And I said, everybody's got a line in the sand. I mean, if it's a CEO of a company and I'm sitting there going, we haven't been doing so hot and blah, 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 this guy, Wayne Manson or Kevin O'Neill or Lou or somebody, I think we need them as the chairman. And I might work for him. I might put him there. And I know I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. Lou's not perfect. We have to work through it. We're all human. Everybody's got strengths and weaknesses, and everybody might have, something they're not proud of. I think when you reach a certain age, your entire life has not been pristine at anybody's level. So you put somebody in there. And even if I think you're doing the job for me, if I'm on the, business affairs committee or whatever the hell they call them on the boards now, and I come in and I see some big, fat expense account thing where Wayne Madsen's off to the Phoenician with, two young ladies that work for the place and runs up a $90 bazillion bar bill. You know what, Wayne? No matter what I like,
Where do I get a job like that?
Yeah, I don't kid. But I'm saying, there is a spot. Yeah. No matter how much you like somebody, there's a line for everybody. Wayne's got to go.
Certainly.
I mean, there's and yet it seems to me that people are willing to let these political creatures, him being one of them.
Yeah.
Or Hillary or whatever. I was never able to forgive Hillary for the crap she did at the futures firm where her trades that weren't hers got in her account. I wouldn't vote for her if there was only one person on the ballot. I could not.
Yeah,
do
you're absolutely right. How many press releases have we seen about corporations dumping a CEO or a chairman or whatever, and it says, look, although the person has not broken any laws, it was the appearance of impropriety is the reason we decided to seek a new CEO or chairman or president.
Yeah, we're the same people that are giving a no fault to one CEO with one too many shots, grabbing some girls behind at a company dinner, he's got to go, are willing to cut this guy so much slack that and I'm saying you got to give everybody a little bit of slack. Now, I know I've said this before that if a general has problems morally, but by the way, he's likely to get more people back from the campaign than somebody else, I might run with him for 6 months and then I dump him and then he comes back. But if there's a unique talent to somebody. But
yeah,
I don't know that, I'm saying whoever you are, and I'm not saying, believe me, that I have not made up my mind that this thing in Ukraine is enough to throw the guy out. I'm absolutely on the fence on this one. So, both sides can come at me all they want, but somebody needs to convince me that this is bad enough. And I'm not saying I won't be convinced, but, or not. That's why there's a process, right? That's why there's supposed to be, these guys on the Judiciary Committee better be convinced that they're doing the right thing, and they better come out with something that's believable. And for most people, unless, you know, the true lovers are going to say, yeah, this guy's got to go. But I don't know. Now, where does that leave the process? Where does that leave the primary?
Well, you know, it's hard to predict because these situations don't always occur. But I do know one thing about being in Washington so long. Once the chum is in the water, the sharks are going to start to get excited. Now that we know about this one conversation, no, apparently we know of another conversation back in April that Trump had with Zelensky. And there's a Giuliani conversation. But here's what I think might happen. Other world leaders who have been put in the same position may leak to their media or our media. You know, the same thing happened to me when I was talking. You know, and we may see a transcript, other transcripts coming. Hey, the guy shook me down for, you know, this or that or whatever. So we could see that happening. Remember in Watergate, it was more than just the break-in.
Right. Right.
Every day you'd turn on the evening news, right, which we did back then because it was came on around dinner time, and there'd be some new revelation. Cronkite or David Brinkley or Howard K. Smith would be like, yeah, and a new development in Watergate. You know, like, my God, this guy. And here's the difference. Nixon was shameless up to a point. Then he became ashamed. One of the last things he said before he resigned was, or maybe he sent the letter of resignation, he was going to officially be out the next day, is he said, my God, what have I done?
Yeah.
The difference between him and Trump is Trump doesn't have any shame. He will never get to the point where he's ashamed or shameful. And that line that Nixon knew he crossed will never be crossed as far as that Trump is concerned. And that's why this is going to, you know, I think it's going to be his undoing. You know, whether it was Nixon's Quaker upbringing or the fact he was an attorney, you know, he had a law degree, said, look, what have I done? My God, what have I done? I don't think we're ever going to hear those words from Donald Trump.
Well, the thing that I, as somebody who has been a lifelong Democrat, but I've fled that group, but I'm cast adrift, I know. I mean, I'm in the middle. I mean, I don't see if the Democrats have, this is theirs for the taking, probably, they're going to screw it up. There's no way on earth anybody, in my mind, anybody who has any kind of business, anybody who has a something that doesn't have their nose so far up the behind the government, I cannot vote for Elizabeth Warren. I cannot do it. I can't
do
it. Yeah, I'm going to write you in, Wayne. I'm going to write you in or lure somebody. I cannot do it. Her grasp of the, from what I see, now if she sat down across from me, this could all be her shtick. I don't know. She might be, you know, drop dead brilliant and feel the same way I do about a lot of the economic stuff, but I sense no. There are serious things wrong with this country that have to do with allowing too much combination. Our problem is not capitalism. Our problem is lack of competition. And we've let, and
yeah,
industry after industry.
I'm also, you know, regardless of her policies, I also look at her demeanor. She reminds me of when I was in high school and my friends and I would be acting up in the library. We had this librarian, older woman, come over and say, now you boy, you stop it or I'm going to call the principal on you. You know, I mean, we laugh. Yeah, what are you going to do? I mean, so, you know, in her case, if she's a nominee, what are we going to have? Rebecca Sunnybrook Farms against Al Capone?
Yeah.
You know, my God, the Democrats would basically shoot themselves in the head if they did that, in my opinion.
Well, here's
I think you need somebody with a lot more street sense.
But
take on this guy.
Here's my conflict is somebody who had him for class, so I can say I studied under Milton Friedman. And Elizabeth Warren is convinced that industry is the problem and government's the solution. Now, what I think is,
she has a plan for that.
Yeah, but my thing is competitive industry is the solution with a few rules, only a few rules regarding pollution and, you know, child labor. With as minimum amount of rules but the rules need to be enforced, right? There needs to be rules, like on the trading floor. It's an open outcry. The best guy gets, the rules are only about four or five rules. That's all you needed. Everything was out in the open. You heard everything. The guy with the best bid or the fastest offer got the trade. There didn't need to be many rules if you do it right, if it's competitive. If it's not competitive, because Milton Friedman said every monopoly that is able to, or cartel that's able to endure over time, can only do so if the government allows it to happen and actually makes it happen.
Yeah.
I mean, the government makes the fact that you and I can't be an electric company competing with Commonwealth Edison. They won't let us. They won't let us get a landing slot at O'Hare at a new airline, or maybe one. They won't let us get a gate. They won't let us be another railroad because they gave the other guy all that. Those are the monopolies.
Yeah.
And it's happening everywhere. I mean, there can only be one cable company down the alley. They create the monopoly. Instead of saying, you know, maybe the government should put the cable in and auction it off to people. Or maybe they should put the cable in where there's four pipes and auction it off to four people. But by saying, no, we're going to give you the right to put it down the alley, you created the monopoly. You know, Elizabeth Warren's idea is if we just had the right people regulating them, we'd be okay. That is, it's flat-ass wrong. Economically, it's wrong. I mean, it's just...
I feel the same way about Bernie Sanders, who, you know, he never supported a Democratic candidate for president from 64 LBJ all the way up to 88 with Dukakis. He was supporting the Socialist Worker Party candidate, and nobody ever heard of any of these guys. And he reluctantly started voting for Democrats for president in 92 because he was running for the Congress, affiliated with the Democratic Party in Vermont. He voted for Clinton that year, but it was reluctant. He said so. This is a guy that would be at those darn Vietnam, war rallies with a folding card table selling the Militant Worker newspaper, and they say, come on, you've got to read this over here. By the way, that's a quarter. No thanks.
So Wayne,
there were Democrats like Gene McCarthy and Bobby Kennedy who were working within the
Wayne, we got to go in 30 seconds. Where can people find you? Because they asked me last night, is it thematsonreport.com?
WayneMatsonReport.com. That's all one word, and, there's... my news and views as Paul Harvey.
Hey, that thing I sent you this week regarding Johnson and the Kennedy assassination, would you like to come on maybe for a half hour one day and just talk about that? I found that incredibly indicting.
I'm sorry, what about the assassination?
It had to do with how deeply involved Johnson was in the Kennedy
certainly.
I'd love to talk about that. Yep. You were great today, Wayne. I don't know how many people agree with you or me, but I think we rousted out some facts, maybe. SP Futures
I
up 8.
So.
NASDAQ Futures up 16. We're going to wait and see. We'll be back tomorrow, Stocks and Jacks. Or Monday.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.